The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. Soon, Kelly Bidlin will join us as well. It's a football Friday on the show. Chris Felica from the doctor's office talking college bowl games with us. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Matt Brown momentarily to talk all things NFL Week 17. Pardon me, all of his bets that he's got going. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning. You with us?
I think I'm with us. Yes.
There you go.
There we go. Little headset malfunction.
Oh, okay. You all right?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, well, you don't, hey.
I couldn't hear you. And then I was talking to you as we were introing the show. I was like, why am I not hearing anything? Why am I not hearing anything?
Good morning to you, sir. Thanks for doing the Megapod yesterday.
Of course, man. It was a pleasure.
It's so much fun. So much fun. Megapod is out. The Beating the Book Megapod, Week 17 edition, with Kelly Bidlin as the rotating guest this week. How about that?
Boom. Winner already last night on the pod.
What'd you have yesterday?
Browns.
Oh, you did have the Browns as one of your plays. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay. We'll get to that momentarily. The Browns get it done against the Jets, and they get it done in a big way. First, though, I just wanted to mention the Pistons, just because this has nothing to do with sports betting, but I love historical things in sports. The Pistons lose their 28th in a row. This ties the longest record in any sport, North American Big Four sports. They do so after leading the Celtics by 21, by 19 at the half, and they gut out an overtime with the Celtics then at the end and still end up losing 128 to 122. They did cover. They were 17-point dogs in this. They were 8-1 on the money line, almost got home, could not get home. Do you find yourself rooting for them, or did you find yourself rooting against them at the end?
Gil, we were talked about this a little bit pre-show. It's like I'm a little kid again. Now that I have separated all my betting from the Pistons altogether, like either either on or against them. That's been a few games now. I'm done with that. I went in on the Jazz game. What was that last week?
When the Jazz were missing four players.
Exactly. Yeah. After that, it's okay, Pistons, I got to see you win here before I can believe in you again. And it was, but now it's like that childlike enthusiasm out of me where I'm just like, I was sitting there rooting so hard for the Pistons in the fourth quarter last night, just screaming at my TV. Like, come on. Like, and of course it's the Celtics, a 17-point favorite. Like, this is the team that's the kind of team that's going to fall flat and just sleepwalk through one of these games against the Pistons.
I think I'm an awful human being. I was rooting for them to set the record, and then I'll root for them.
So what's funny is the mindset, the childlike enthusiasm ended right as overtime started, because then the sicko betting brain kicks in where I'm like, it'd also be really cool if the Celtics covered the 17 points in
overtime. Can you imagine that?
Because we always talk about overtime being where dogs go to die, right?
It's 28 in a row. They play the Raptors. They're at home, which would be the record of all records if they got to 29. Right now, they tie the Sixers from 2014, 2015, and 2015, 2016, I believe, which spanned two seasons of 28 losses in a row. And I was just saying, we were just talking off air, I'm saying, my brain toggled last night too. All right, 28. I know it's still a long way from this, but if they lost 41 in a row, let me just throw that out. It's no longer a losing streak. It's a half a season of basketball. just want to put context. So anyway, that happened last night. I was watching college football bowl games with Wishnev yesterday, betting all of them.
Yeah. How'd it go? How'd the betting go?
Another winning day in college football bowls. Another winning day. But I will concede that the ease with which I was winning the first run of days, like you can feel the wall sort of closing in, like the bets are sweatier. They're more coin flippy. And some of these games are now, and I thought that would happen, by the way, as the competition level rose. You know, because some of the lesser teams are now in the rear view. But
teams that might care more. Yeah, Ryan,
well, like, but I don't even know if it's that. Like, there are so many of these games where it's like three games in one. You know, where a team comes out and they dominate, then they get dominated, then they dominate again at the end. That Arizona-Oklahoma game was the greatest example of this last night, where Arizona came out, popped Oklahoma in the mouth. Then Oklahoma dominated for most of this game, it felt like. Until Arizona scored 25 unanswered at the end based on a pick six, another setup on a pick. I think there was something else that happened, a fumble in there. And it was just one of those where I had Arizona in an in-game bet. Todd correctly got off his Arizona bet to bet Oklahoma, and I thought he did the right thing, and he still lost.
Oh, man.
And then I found out I was on Stevie Fezzik Luckbox's side, so if I had known that the whole time, I would have. Fezzik, who's the smartest dude in the world and also the luckiest guy in the world. It's incredible.
what was the game? Not the Rutgers. SMU Boston College, right? Anybody looking for 24-hour late sweats of the first half unders in that game,
oh, yeah,
check out the bag. A pod from yesterday.
That's right. Will had a first half bet he lost. Todd had a third quarter he won, and then I had the full game, which I barely won as well.
That reminded me of the primetime action days. It was like Will was like, "Don't even talk to me until this half comes to an end."
Speaking of primetime action, we will have Matt Brown here momentarily. Speaking of the NFL, he will talk NFL. The New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns last night. Congratulations to anybody who had Browns yes to make the playoffs. All they had to do was win last night, and that, which everyone anticipated would get done, did get done. They beat the Jets in a game that was really one half of football, and then they just kind of slept. They just kind of slept through the second half. And by the way, when I say he slept through, literally in the case of Joe Flacco, who there was a shot of him falling asleep on the bench in the second half. At 37-20, the Browns win it.
I did not see that.
Oh yeah, it was 34-17 at halftime. The Browns scored five touchdowns. One Riley Patterson missed a point after touchdown, is why it was 34. But they scored five touchdowns. Flacco threw in the first half for 296. He ended up with 309. Njoku was 128 of those 296 in the first half. He ended up with 134 receiving. The Browns had 367 total yards in the first half. They ended up with 428. And the 34 points that they scored in the first half is the second most in the first half in Browns franchise history. And Joe Flacco's comeback player of the year candidacy is real and may actually get there. Let's put it this way. Damar Hamlin is now the shortest favorite of any favorite in any NFL awards market at minus 150. At DraftKings, Flacco is even money now. Minus 150 on Hamlin. That's even shorter than Lamar Jackson for MVP, who I believe is like minus 195. So, Kelly, if you ask me right now, I have a feeling Flacco's winning this. I have a bigger question for you again, which drifts into sports talk radio beyond the betting.
Yeah.
So I say to Todd last night as we're watching college football, I says, Todd, do you ever have somebody in your life who said, I says?
Yeah.
The guy who used to take me to Skins games as a kid, he was like, "Yo, I says to him before this." It's kind of like Foghorn Leghornish. But I says to Todd, I say to him, I go, "Let me ask you a question. If Flacco, now the Browns have clinched the playoff berth, they're still mathematically alive to win their division and get the number one seed. Although all it takes is one Baltimore victory for that to go by the wayside. But they're entrenched in the number five seed in the AFC playoff picture." If Joe Flacco and the Browns went on to win the Super Bowl, is Joe Flacco a Hall of Famer? And I say this by saying that 5 weeks ago, six weeks ago, he didn't have a job. But if they were to win the Super Bowl, just play it out, Sports Talk Radio, is he a Hall of Famer?
Probably.
I couldn't even finish the sentence, and Todd's like, yeah, he has to be.
I mean, like, yeah. It's, yeah,
because he will have won a second Super Bowl.
Right, he's got two Super Bowls then.
And if you believe that both Big Ben and Eli Manning will get into the Hall of Fame, they're not yet eligible yet. But if you believe that both of those two guys will get in the Hall of Fame, winning two Super Bowls, you can't win two Super Bowls and not get in. One would assume, because that hasn't happened before.
Yeah, I think it would be impossible. I mean, I think Russell Wilson's making it.
Russell Wilson's stats are better than Joe Flacco's. Right. They played the exact... By the way, check this out.
Oh, really?
They've played like the... Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco. Yeah, no, I checked it with, like, with Wilson. I checked it with Manning. Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco have played the exact same number of NFL games. The exact same number. They've thrown for almost the exact same number of yards. But Wilson destroys him on touchdown and interception ratio.
Okay.
And Russell Wilson, of course, has 1-1, just like Flacco's 1-1.
Yeah.
And by the way,
if Flacco wins a second Super Bowl, like,
Flacco was the MVP of the one that they won 10 years ago against the Niners, which he parlayed into that massive contract. But just think about how amazing this story is, and this is why. What would it have taken for Damar Hamlin not to win comeback player of the year? This kind of thing. a guy who's about to be 39, by the way. We say he's 38. He's really on the cusp of being 39. And from the street to talking about, will he make the Hall of Fame if this happened? Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just the fact that you have to have this conversation now. I don't know if you have to have it, but yeah. I just brought it up.
I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't have it. You heard me bring it up earlier in the week. Don't get me wrong. Did I get more of the, okay, we're on national television. You're on a national streaming service.
worldwide streaming service. For those who want to brave it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was seen by everybody in a game where you clinch a playoff spot for the Cleveland Browns. Like, it's an incredible story. It's 5 weeks of the NFL season, though.
And that's all it is.
And I'm this is why I hate this market, right? We bring this up every time. You got to compare certain situations to certain situations. Baker Mayfield's been doing this all season long down in Tampa Bay.
Poor dude.
And we don't care about him for some reason.
I'm glad you brought up 5 weeks, right? Because if 5 weeks is good enough for Joe Flacco to win Comeback Player of the Year, 5 weeks is also good enough, in my opinion, for C.J. Stroud to lose Offensive Rookie of the Year. So okay. He had a bad game. He missed two. If he has two bad games at the end,
yeah, you need a couple.
He can also lose that, in my opinion.
I mean, this is real quick. You brought it up, but this just the awards updates after last night. We saw yesterday heavy betting into the Defensive Player of the Year market even before the game started. Miles Garrett moved to the favorite at DraftKings before that game kicked off last night.
Over $2 now.
Now he is minus -235. As you brought up, comeback, we've got DeMar Hamlin minus -150, Joe Flacco even money, and then Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski, minus -275.
Yeah, a little Browns bump yesterday all across the board. Coming back with Matt Brown next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking a bit smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. Get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSiN. VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. A lot of feedback, Kelly, on the Megapod yesterday. Folks really got into the Nugenics story.
I found that creepy commercial.
I have never, well, this is good inside. If people haven't seen the, by the way, if you want to know what we're talking about here, the Megapod, Beating the Book Megapod is what we just randomly talking about different things. I've never seen that commercial you talked about in my life.
See, like you have, but it's one you just haven't noticed.
I'm telling you I haven't, because if I had, I would be creeped out by
Was
it.
I wrong about anything,
no,
though?
No. Like, it would never be made today.
For people that might remember, it's an AIG commercial? And yeah. It's like an insurance commercial. And this, it's just a guy reading this fairy tale to what you think is his daughter in bed, but they never make it clear that it's her father. And then he leaves a business card and you're like, why is this dude in this little girl's room? It's weird.
JDL_8, never again lifting chest press while listening to the Megapod. The Nugenics bit almost caused me to drop the weights when Kelly got to the insurance commercial actor.
So, like, it's the only time in my life that I've picked up on a actor in a commercial and put him in another one. He's in the Nugenics one when they're at the driving range. Because there are multiple Nugenics commercials. We have to make that clear.
Just remember.
There's like five of them.
She'll like it, too. Nick Kendhammer. I completely agree with your take on Justin Fields. As Bears fans listening to the complaining back home, as a Bear fan listening to the complaining back home, like Caleb Williams has the same scouting report coming out as Fields. Holds ball a little too long, looking for big plays, not a ton of improvement, but options are not better. He also adds, he thinks the Bears are going to move on from Justin Fields, which I think will be a big mistake myself. And then this one from, let me get this one more. Oh, this is Tom F. talking about the Pistons while the bowl games were going on yesterday. He goes, ESPN was giving score updates throughout the bowl game at halftime. Sight unseen, I took Boston plus +140 nice. Money line. Probably not great value for a 19-point deficit in retrospect.
I was going to say they had to have been down close to like close to their maximum, because I was texting with someone laughing at it. They were down 17 in the second quarter. I went to check it, and it was minus -110 each way.
And finally, finally a text from Michael Montesano, who won the Booby Prize the first year at Circa. He said to you, he takes umbrage with your Baker Mayfield take. He said Baker had a full preseason to get ready. Flacco was eating popcorn on his couch when he got the call. He also had 300 yards without Cooper last night.
Okay.
No Chubb, no Cooper last night. Well, no Chubb and no Deshaun for
Baker
the season.
Mayfield's just overwhelmed with weapons down there in Tampa.
Last thing before we get to Matt, who's more deserving of their award? Flacco for Comeback Player of the Year or Stefanski for Coach of the Year, given Deshaun, two other quarterbacks,
Stefanski,
Chubb,
without a doubt,
tackles.
That's the way I read into that more, is that this coach is so good he's gotten this done with four quarterbacks.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the former host of the greatest show that was ever canceled, VSiN Primetime. He joins us now after dealing with the valet downstairs. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing?
I am well. I'm very sick to my stomach over this whole Flacco stuff, though. I will admit, like, from the Comeback Player of the Year deal, I'm so over it. A guy died on the field. A guy died on the field. This other guy came back from what, being irrelevant, like from being not thought of. I mean, that's all it was. It's like, He just came back from what? I mean, it's just I understand it's incredible. The range of what this could possibly be and what is massive. I get all that. I understand that for sure. But man,
you're speaking my language. I screamed at Kelly last summer. I'm like, he almost died on the field. If he steps on the field, he's the Comeback Player of the Year.
Well, and the only reason I bring up Baker's if we're comparing it to Joe Flacco, right? We want to go DeMar Hamlin. You want to give it to DeMar? Exactly.
It's a different category.
Things that we can actually compare.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking about the market, and so this is just people reacting. I get it, and they're betting. We still don't know how people are going to vote on this. Yeah. I mean, but it's like, oh, he came back from what? I mean, he didn't have a team. That's all it was. He just didn't have a team.
Do you think the Brownies are live to win a playoff game or multiple playoff games?
Yeah, for sure.
If they started right now, I'm doing this off the top of my head. If they started right now, they would go to the AFC South winner in the opening playoff game, which could be Jacksonville, might not be Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And just moving forward, I can only assume that they're going to adjust, but like the last 3 weeks have been the easiest prop money ever in the history of the world, betting Flacco over passing yards. And like they said it last 230 last night. He had 296 at halftime. it's they can't run the ball, so they just throw it every single time. Like he's had the first four starts, he had at least 42 attempts in every single one of those games. He didn't have to last night because obviously they got up so big, but it's just, again, it's if they open this thing again in the 240-ish range, you just have to play over. You just have to blindly play over.
You think they'll adjust it finally appropriately?
I thought they would do it this week, but I guess, here's the deal. It's algorithms, right? And so, like, they plug in, Jets defense, and then they plug in whatever, and then it spits out 230.
And a total.
Looking at how this offense has completely changed since Flacco came in there, where they just don't even try to run the ball. They just have him throw it 40-plus times a game because he's actually slinging it all over the field pretty well, you know? And so, again, we'll see. I mean, maybe finally they'll do some manual adjustments because it was 230 and a half, Gil.
We always talk about that when the NBA playoff season are about to be determined, and we probably overrate how much teams care about it. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. The Browns have got to feel great about being entrenched in the five hole, even if they don't. Obviously, they'd want to win their division and get the number one seed, and those are technically alive. But really, realistically, being the five seed and having to go to Jacksonville or to Houston or to Indianapolis, however that shakes out, is a great spot to be in. So they'll want to play. If the Bills win and they're one football game behind, the Browns will want to win that final game of the season, assuming that I'm not misreading the tiebreakers on that. All right. Week 17 in the National Football League, which precedes the squirreliest week of them all. Week 18. Someone's winning the jackpot.
Yeah, so good for them.
Hey, it happens. Winners all around.
Oh, it was a Sigma Derby win, was it? Is that what it was? I don't know. That was good stuff right there. Yeah.
Yesterday we had them taking all the change out of the machine and adding it all up. So
looking around, see if anyone was going to get to them.
That's awesome.
What do you like best? What's your number one this week?
Yeah, I really, really like. It's a prop, but I mean, it's still one of my favorite plays of the week. It's still available. So DJ Chark is sitting at 23.5 rush/receiving yards. This is one of those deals, Kelly Ware, it's the, the rush slash receiving is the exact same as the receiving.
Yeah, the minus 110 instead of minus 145 or whatever you might have been looking at.
Yeah, so you can get, and look, I get it. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes they do these end arounds and they get stopped for like 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, so it's not always the best way to go about stuff, but it's, I'm going to play the percentages here that he can at least, if they even do it, right? I mean, we don't have any idea whether they're going to run some sort of weird end around or some sort of, you know, inside handoff thing to him. But if so, I'm going to thinking at least 1 or 2 yards and it just comes, you know, just counts towards our total. But if you look at the Panthers over the last month, and this is when, you know, I also have the Panthers plus 7 in this game, but if you look at the Panthers over the last month, this is more of an eye test thing, but I think you guys might have seen it as well. Like, it took a whole lot longer than we thought, but it looks like Bryce Young is slowly figuring things out a little bit more. And the confidence level is a little bit higher as well. You look last week and his average yards per attempt was 8.7 yards, which by far his highest, you know, that he's had of the season. You saw the offensive output that they had last week as well with everything. And so Chark, I don't know if this was just game planned last week in this game or if it was just, hey, maybe we need to try to figure out if this is going to work with this dude or not. But he got 8 targets from Bryce Young. He's running routes the last 3 games, 81% of the dropbacks as it is anyway. So he's always out there. He's running a route on every single dropback. And then sneakily, this Jags defense is one of those pass funnel defenses in the NFL where they defend the run very, very well and then give up nearly 260 passing yards per game. And so if we go by the spread, which is 6.5 or 7 in favor of the Jags, and you think that they're going to be down, the Panthers I'm talking about, then we get a little bit more of a pass rate over expectation with Bryce Young, who's now been a little more prone to throw the ball down the field and seems like he's getting a little bit more confidence against one of the worst pass defenses in the league over the last several weeks. I mean, if you go back to week 10, the Jags defense is 27th in EPA per play allowed. They're 29th in success rate allowed. They're 25th in dropback EPA per allowed. Like, it's just a...
they've been awful.
Yeah, it's just a defense that has fallen off a cliff, right? And so if we look at all of those things kind of put together, I think we see a total as low as 23.5 on DJ Chark. And to me, I have him more in the like mid-40s. And I understand that's a little bit aggressive, but I switched to how I think, one, the offense is going to run, two, the game state, and then also just Bryce Young throwing the ball a little bit further down the field and the routes in the route tree that DJ Chark tends to run. You know, I mean, we can get the 23.5 really on one catch with the type of routes that he runs and all of that, but kind of leads me into the whole Panthers plus 7 as well. Just it's a dual handicap on not only game but also just that prop.
You have Jags division like Kelly?
I do, but I took a little bit of the Colts too. That's not gonna happen either.
By the way, one clarification: if the Ravens do win this week, that means the Browns cannot win the division or get the number 1 seed. The Browns will have nothing to play for next week because they'll be locked into number 5 no matter what. Coming back, more Matt Brown next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number 1, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number 1 nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Nash, last name Nash. That would be a perfect time to pull Jason from his cloud of smoke and hear his opinion on what is considered for comeback player of the year, death, cancer, getting off the couch. The people need clarification. We will get him from under a cloud of smoke a little later on.
We will.
Kevin Ryan, Gill in the first half of the Jets game last night. The Jets failed to convert a fourth down in the red zone. No penalty was called, however. After the replay, they called 12 men on the field for the Browns. What gives? I saw that. Dude was like right about to be on the sideline, but he was still on the field, and they called that. I don't know if that was the circumstance that they didn't throw the flag for at first. I don't know, but it was appropriately called.
I saw it. Yeah. I saw it on mute because I was watching the Pistons at that time.
I didn't have the audio.
I didn't really get it either, but I saw the first down.
It's like you can't review any subjective calls or something like that. But like if something's just cut and dry when you see it in replay, then you can. Yeah.
If that were the case, though, they should be able to do the play clock, which they can't.
Yes.
Which is the most objective of all of them.
But weirdly, it's subjective. Because like they'll give you that like, oh, and, oh right. you get three quarters of a you know,
that's right.
second.
Like, it was a grace period.
they have to look down at the clock, see zero, look at the other clock, right. see zero,
that so
look
funny.
That the ball hasn't been snapped, then blow the whistle.
James Spivey, if Flacco leads the Browns to the Super Bowl victory, he would be the first quarterback to win with current and former Browns organizations. Yes, that would be true. Clone Bone, DeMar called a timeout a week or two ago on special teams. That should be enough to win comeback player of the year, right? LOL.
He was on the field a few weeks ago, yep.
Blue Hen Bill.
Didn't record another tackle.
So can one team win the coach comeback and defensive player of the year? LOL. By the way, thanks for the SMU tip yesterday. Bought it blind after hearing you while driving. Didn't know what a sweat it was till hearing the Megapod. You're nice to say thank you, but that was a complete sweat. We were very fortunate to get home on the under yesterday on that game. He's not referring to SMU. Obviously got crushed as a or got beat as a big favorite. Good friend Shillionaire, love the Megapod yesterday. Todd setting the fire alarm off with his uncanny belching powers was priceless. Also, Kelly, can I get a Doppler reading for the Vikings Packers game? I'm leaning Green Bay, but the weather situation will help with my bet. And John Fitzgibbons. Megapod was a blast. As always, Todd in person, a live sweat on a bowl game that was already done. Alarms, Scud, missile talk, and the NFL. Was it Meshuggah? Was it Fakakta? Maybe both. I couldn't stop laughing. There's more. But we have Matt Brown here, ladies and gentlemen, to give his NFL thoughts on week 17 in the National Football League. What is next? What do you like besides your Panthers play and your Chark play?
Yeah, I like the Bucs this week. I mean, once it got under the three, it seemed to me like maybe a little bit of an overreaction on the Saints and just like the Saints overall. I think there's another one of these teams where we have this, we kind of almost have this perception of what the team is and what they are. And you see, oh, it's Carr and he's got Olave and he's got Kamara and all stuff. Like, no, they just have not been good all season long. The offense has been horrible in the red zone. I mean, there has been no team that cannot put the ball in the end zone as poorly as the Saints. And you start to look at the season long trends and it's like Baker Mayfield has been a top 12 quarterback in this all year long.
Had a perfect passer rating a couple weeks ago.
Like all year long. He's been a top 12 quarterback in the league all year long. And my biggest knock on this Bucs team, and when we were doing the season preview for this division, it was like, I honestly think any one of the four teams can win. The only reason I don't think it's the Bucs is because they're a little older. And, you know, teams that are a little older tend to break down towards the end of the season. Well, it hasn't happened. And so when you look, since week 10, this defense has actually gotten better over the course of the season, where I thought it was going to get way worse as these older guys on the defensive side of the ball got, you know, injured and beat up over the course of the year. But if you look, we go back to, let's just start at like week 10, right? So we have a very nice, healthy sample size of when teams not only have their identity, but have also been able to kind of deal with the rigors of the season and whatnot. The offense for the Bucs is better. The defense for the Bucs is better. The offense for the Bucs is better than the Saints for sure. The defense for the Bucs is better than the Saints for sure as well. If I just go strictly by my power ratings as well, this would be a play at two on the Bucs than it would be on the Saints. I'm much lower on the Saints, I think, than maybe the rest of the market. But when you have a team that struggles so, so mightily in the red zone, when you have a quarterback that is just prone to making, we cannot predict interceptions, but all we can do is put ourselves inside the handicap. We can at least have this little mini handicap inside the handicap of like, well, this guy at least puts it in danger more, right? Mm-hmm. And he's at least making these more bonehead plays, these turnover-worthy plays. And for whatever reason, Carr, who was known as Check Down Charlie whenever he was here, still checks it down a ton, but then he oddly will throw into these horrible windows like a few different times a game, and it's like caught up with him multiple times here with the Saints. You go in, dude, like since week 10, this is a top 10 offense for the Bucs, like a top 10 offense in the NFL overall. The defense is a top 12 defense overall in the NFL. And so I guess I can get why people were taking the full field goal with the Saints. And I can, you know, obviously the handicap is much different at a two than it is at a three, right? I mean, we're having a different conversation, but once it got under the three, I wasn't planning on playing this game. I thought it was just going to stick at three. This seemed like the most sticky game of the week to me. And then when all that Saints love came in and got pushed this thing down, I'm going with the better offense, the better defense, and the team that's been playing better, and the defense that has been playing better over the course of the season as well. And I think they have more playmakers too.
I liked this game the best on the best on guessing lines. I guessed four. It was three. I was surprised by that, and then it went against me even more. Yeah. 2.5. So I like it even that much more. NFC equivalent of what we were talking about in the AFC, where Cleveland is locked in if the Browns, excuse me, if the Ravens again win this week, and then the Browns won't have a shot at the division technically. It's mathematically alive currently, but they'll be locked into the number five spot. They will travel to the winner of the AFC South, whether that's Jacksonville, Houston, or Indianapolis. The NFC equivalent is if Tampa Bay wins this game, they will be that much closer to an NFC South title. They will be the fourth best division winner. Dallas, locked in, assuming they don't win the NFC East, would be the fifth seed. What is the line? I'll ask you to guess a line. Cowboys at Tampa Bay, wild card week.
I honestly think they open at like three.
Cowboys minus three.
Because it is this road Cowboys outside thing, all some of that is real.
That's like, why I ask.
It's real. There was a bet, and I was going to try to recommend it, like when we came in a couple of weeks ago about Cowboys losing in the first round of the playoffs. But like it was baked into the numbers, like unbettable. It was so low because I think people really get like this team is much, much better at home, much, much better in a dome, much, much better on the fast track. And you go outdoors on the road into what could or could not be. I mean, you know, whatever's Florida, the weather could be weird. Yeah. We have no idea what it would be like in the playoffs and stuff. So like, it was already baked into the number. It was completely unbettable. It was almost laughable how low it was.
If the Cowboys lost and had their season end in a wild card round weekend game at Tampa Bay, where would that rank in the history, in the annals of Jerry Jones disappointments? That would have to be number one, wouldn't it?
He would be on up there, but he would come out and he would tell you he's sticking by his guys everything's good to go. And Dax is quarterback. And
the thing is, it's the Cowboys. I can't just like snap answer. It's number one. Well, like, I'd have to go back and compare many. Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about this, though, and you guys might have hit on it in the first segment whenever I was rushing in here, but what happened yesterday that blew this number down to four and a half, like on the line, like
just Lions money?
Because I didn't see any no injury news. There was no whatever. I mean, I guess maybe some service must have done a release or something, or whatever. Because like, I mean, you're sitting six all week long, and then not just a move off the six. And I understand it's not all that significant to move from six to 4.5. But I mean, we see a full point and a half move. It hit four at a couple of spots for a second, including Circa.
It hit four. Got all the way down to four.
Yeah, wow. It's Circa for a little bit. I mean, not long. And then there was the buyback there at the flat four, but we're talking two whole points coming in, like after it just sat all week long, was just
talking Cowboys just, lines for those who don't know.
Was just odd to me.
Yeah, this was a game. I know Mew and I will hit on it later. This was a game I had circled to kind of bet the Cowboys side this week, but that number opening like at six, like that was. I thought that it was way more than I was expecting, so I kind of stayed away. But now that it came back down a little bit, I got a little bit more interest in it under the six. But I was surprised that it had moved that much as well. So starting yesterday,
the only thing I was looking at in that game is the secondary for the Lions just gives up chunk plays like a ton, and you would expect the Cowboys to just throw a massive amount in this game. Dowdle's already ruled out. Pollard has been vastly ineffective over the course of the season. Like, I think any and all CeeDee Lamb props are like on the table for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think he has a big one in that one. That's really the only look. I just didn't know what y'all thought about this game. It's like at six, it was at least mildly intriguing to me on the Lions, but then people just came in and gobbled that thing up. Like,
it's a contest pick for me. Yeah. It's going to be a contest pick for me on the Cowboys, and I also have a bet on it. But there are multiple games this week which I loved, and then three of them, they all went against me. I liked the Ravens at four against the Dolphins. Clearly, I like them better at three. The Bucks at Bucks 3-point favorites, I loved. Clearly, I like them better at 2.5. And the Cowboys, I liked at 5.5. Clearly, I should have gotten it at four, which I did not.
I was just sitting there in the screen.
That was quick, though, yesterday.
I was just sitting there, and the screen starts like lighting up like a Christmas tree. And I'm like, I'm going to the Twitter. I'm like, what did I just miss? Like, who got ruled out? Like, what happened? Did Goff, like, break his thumb or something or whatever? And they're like, no reason. Just what,
was it a Raz release? I wonder if it was.
I heard there was a service release on that.
Okay. All
right. I don't know whose, but.
Checking Dr. Bob, see if he we'll come back. Matt has a couple more plays to tell us about. Week 17 in the National Football League. A Football Friday on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. he did the point with the crown is yours.
It's yours.
do you do it? By the way, Matt Brown, by the way, this is just shame on me. The All Angles podcast, which he does three times a week. You're going to, after the football season, what happens with All Angles? Do you go just wait till the next football season?
No more angles.
No more angles. There are no more angles to be had.
No more angles.
Then it turns into the No Angles podcast. Which is really short.
I just get on there and just talk about what might happen next year. Like, you know.
I got no angles. And then, of course, he does The Handle with Mike Somich each and every Saturday and Sunday evening
and there's
at
a,
7 p.m. Ooh, Eastern.
There's golf. A golf podcast.
Oh, boy. It's coming.
And then it's called Long Shots.
It's coming.
It's called Long Shots. Tennis started yesterday for the first time back. So, yeah, golf. It's called Long Shots. You guys have been doing some form of that throughout, though, right?
We took the past, 4 weeks off, something like that. Yeah, yeah. Right. Wes and I took the past 4 weeks off. All three of us will be back next week, I think.
You think?
Wes replied to an email.
Wow.
But we'll all be back next week for sure.
Let me just read.
Century Tournament Champions. I already know the first bet I'm putting in, Matt Brown.
Would you like to share now, or would you like to tease it to listen to it? It's called Long Shots.
I don't really care. If anybody tracks this last year, I might have had worst bad beat in golf I had in a while with Colin Morikawa. So I am not going to stand by in week one of the golf season to watch Colin Morikawa roll out there and win that tournament without a bet on him.
Man, how many times a week do you guys do two a week on Long Shots, right?
Just one?
Didn't you used to just do two?
We did. The other one was just like a little recap. The recap one. I don't know, man.
I feel like when they're doing one in the offseason, you're like, no, I'm not. And then when they do two, you're like, no, we do one.
It's like we were doing these like Monday.
What's your angle?
We're doing these like Monday recaps, and it's kind of like we go on and just tell everyone why their bets didn't win, essentially, because like one person wins a golf tournament. So you're just sitting there, you're just kind of like, oh, this is whatever. And like, oh, yeah, well, you didn't win all your outrights. I'm like, I don't think they need to be reminded, but I mean, that's just me.
So it might just be Tuesdays.
Cannot wait for the No Angles podcast. I'm totally listening to that. Real, just a few tweets here before we get to Matt's final picks. Mr. Masterline, I think Hamlin actually would have to play to get the award. What about if he gets it for comeback player of the year next year? We've had a couple people say that. What about next year?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know.
But it feels like
he met my criteria. Gil.
Met so mine.
It's check the box.
And Bland has not met your criteria.
He has not met
for
my
defensive player of the year.
That's right. Has
if
not.
Deron Bland has a pick six this week, is he your defensive player of the year immediately?
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
He is.
Christian Ritter, regarding comeback player of the year. It's all anybody wants to talk about. Why doesn't the NFL make it two separate awards, injury related, which would be Hamlin, and performance based only from not being good or irrelevant to being good and contributing to a team's success, which would be Flacco and Mayfield? Yeah, that would make too much sense, Christian.
Yeah, too much sense. Yeah.
Scott Weston, I'm eating dinner, listening to the Megapod with one earbud in. My wife, taking an exam, also in the kitchen, looks at me and says, "What's so funny? How do you explain a fire alarm going off because Todd's burps are so stinky?" I just said you wouldn't understand, LOL.
The only scary part about that yesterday was that when we heard two different kinds of alarms.
Oh, yeah. Two different kinds.
You're like, what is that, like an anthrax alarm or something? We should maybe be a little bit more concerned about that.
Yeah, we have two different kinds of alarms we learned at the D, one of which apparently is less alarmy than the other.
Right, yeah.
And finally, Judd O'Connor. Dubs are unbettable in their current state. Dynasty is dead. Hey, first of all, Judd, there will be no such talk here on this show.
I lost money on that game last night. Sorry, Judd.
But you're right. It's not going to happen again. Anyway, it was a great run.
They've been getting better.
Yeah.
They've been getting better. I haven't bet on them in forever. JVT. I don't know if I bet on them all season.
JVT likes them in certain situations. Yeah.
They've been getting. I mean, Clay's been shooting better. That was not a great game last night, but Clay's been playing better. Wiggins has got to get back to when Wiggins is peak Wiggins. That's when that team really, really hums. I don't think it's brought up enough. I don't think it's been brought up enough in the past of that guy being just when he's a quality two-way player for them, both offensively and defensively, makes all the difference.
He was a key cog to the last championship for sure. Are you betting NBA these days?
You using the same hair product these days as you've been using, or you switched it up?
Yeah, bro.
It is?
Yeah, same thing. Just a little longer, though. I got haircut scheduled for today.
As you were giving your little rant, I was looking. I was like, I didn't know. All right, same stuff. All right.
Problem is the headphones sort of dents it.
That's what it is. Maybe just,
That's what it is.
You're maybe just a little fluffier on the sides than normal. And I just
Due for a cut.
That threw me off.
And Gil's right. It spikes through the headset, and then it's laughable afterward because the back half of my head just gets... Oh. Matted down.
Kelly shows up for his Bumble date, and he's got like this matted down spot on the top of his on the top of his head, and like that's he leaves it on purpose so that she asks about it so he can talk about yeah, you know, I'm on air. I'm on air. It's a great pickup line, right? She's like looking at him all weird, and his Bumble date's like, why does this guy have these two like massive dents in the top of his head? And so it's just he leaves it just so he can say, yeah, you know, I'm on air. I do this little show, you know, or no big deal. It's a headset thing.
Maybe
you know?
maybe that's a better idea, Gil, than me having to take like 3 showers a day just so my hair's not weird all the time.
There three, you you're up to three now.
You know, you throw a workout in there. Okay. Well, you might have to do three.
Are you working out
you
now?
You might have to do three. Yeah, of course I'm working out. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm losing some weight.
How much have you lost?
10 pounds. 10
in
pounds.
In how long?
Month.
Dude, you're gonna look fantastic.
Trying.
All right.
Trying.
Matt, you have two more plays.
Yes. Yes.
Well, first of all, one of them was a teaser, which you did have a Browns leg. I did too yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, and I took the Packers up to 8. And look, this is mainly a numbers play in which you're able to push this thing up through all the way to the 8. There's two still widely available out there, so don't tweet me with these bringing stale numbers to the show stuff. You can still do it. You can still bring it up there.
You take a lot of incoming on that, don't you?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, but how am I supposed to tease the Browns now, Matt? Come on.
Ridiculous.
That's right. That game's over.
Yeah. There's other legs if you want to go that direction. Honestly, the move to Hall was like, I wouldn't plan on betting this one either until last night. And then it was just, you know, the move to Hall.
What about that move?
Yeah, I mean, just it's I don't know if it's a.
He's painted himself into a corner. He can't play Dobbs anymore.
That's the thing. It's like
he can't do it. He wants to, but he can't.
It's one of the things where I think O'Connell's looking at it like kind of like, okay, look. This season's donezo, so it's like, let me throw this rookie in here as we lose these last couple of games, and then it just kind of, it's the, oh man, I had to play all these quarterbacks and everything, whatever, and that's why the season went off the rails and blah, blah, blah. I think
Vikings mathematically alive.
I think it makes sense to me. He was the number one choice to go in right away before, they signed Dobbs, right, but then he went in right away after Kirk Cousins. I've been wondering where Jaren Hall's been at the past few weeks.
Here's the deal, though. You never plan on playing your fifth round rookie. Like, that's not like part of
While you're still alive,
yeah, you don't plan to play your fifth round rookie. Like, you know,
I agree with your point though. This is the time to get him some reps and see what you got.
Yeah, yeah, it's they're throwing him in there and they're gonna be like, okay, can he even be a backup next year? Like, that's basically where they're going because they're gonna have to figure something out at quarterback. I imagine Kirk is gonna move on, so they'll have to figure something out with all that. But anyhow, yeah, so this is just mainly once they announced the Hall thing. I mean, look, he didn't look good when he was in there. Now he's coming in, hasn't played in a month and a half. Like the season, I know, still technically alive, but most likely dead for this team as well. So it just winning a margin for me with Hall at quarterback just wasn't part of the handicap at all. Like I didn't plan on playing this game either, but then that came out like, it was just an odd decision in my personal opinion. And so, the range of outcomes for me of the Vikings winning this thing by 9 points was very, very, very low as far as everything that I had going. So taking that up to 8. And again, like I said, there are other legs out there if you want to play. I mean, the Chiefs you could take down to 1 if you want to do that. I know it's not the traditional, but like
I don't trust them. Man.
Yeah. 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 Me neither. But I'm saying there are
Falcons
options.
Right? 8.5.
You could take the Saints up to 8.5 if you wanted to go that direction, et cetera. So there are partners.
I went Browns to. Jags as we talked about on Megapod. And with the Jags, I'm like, okay, you have to win this, right? Against the Panthers. Like you might not cover, but for God's sakes, win this.
Anyway, so I'm on the same thing you are. I'm also on Ravens at 3. A game in which this was more of an injury report play for me than anything else. I mean, I look at this, and if Waddle can't go, who, by the way, is DNP'd all week, this offensive line is completely beat up. And now the guys could all end up going. You know, the injury report, we're doing this before the Friday last one officially comes out, so we don't know what the practice report is going to look like on Friday, which, of course, is the most important one. But that being said, it is pretty much every guy on the offensive line over the last 2 weeks has been on and off the injury report. And so not only could you be without your true number two, Tyreek is still playing at least somewhat compromised out there. He's not fully healthy either. And then now you add in the fact that Tua might be dealing with 1, 2, maybe all five guys that are compromised on the offensive line as well. To me, the three on the Ravens, I understand the push equity. I mean, I get all of that, but I think the three at Ravens still playable. It's an expensive three now, but there are still threes available out there for that one too. I would still continue to play that one. The Ravens team, to me, it's even less about the Ravens just being a complete truck, which I think they possibly could be, but the Dolphins not being at full strength, I think could be too much on the road.
And the Ravens, if they win this, not only do they win the AFC North, they also get the number one seed. They could theoretically rest in week 18 if they wanted to.
Which could be big, right?
Yeah. Which would be 2 weeks off, really, in quotes. But if the Dolphins win, they're in the driver's seat for the number one seed because they'll have the head-to-head with the same record going into the final week of the season. Matt Brown, everybody. Paul Angles, the handle on the weekends here at VSiN. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Always. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Coming back with Jason Weingarten next.